Curtain Radio. Well, as I mentioned, joining me right now, in fact, is Erica Wells. She's a WA Operations Manager for E.ON WA Foundation. They're doing some wonderful work. Oh, I've lost her. Could you just try again? She's just ringing back there. We'd lost her for just a second. I'll just briefly explain what it is. I have to find out what E.O.N. stands for, but they build edible gardens in remote Aboriginal schools and communities for a secure supply of fresh fruit and vegetables. Now, they're based in Perth and Broome, and in WA, and in Katherine in the Northern Territory. And we do have an hour. I've just about lost you there for a second, Erica.
It just cut out for a minute, but I'm back.
I'm very, very pleased. This is interesting. We had no... Well, I can only say for myself, I wasn't aware that this incredible work has been getting carried out.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. It's pretty hard. It's pretty rewarding. It's all the good things.
Well, the photograph showing the children in their vegetable patch, I tell you what, their smiles are from ear to ear. First of all, just if you could tell us what E.O.N. stands for.
Well, it is, originally it was the Edge of Nowhere. We sort of just go by E.ON now, but that's where it sort of originated from.
Right. I was very curious. There you go. You've filled it out for me. Now, just from the beginning, just explain how you formed, why you formed, and how it's all going.
Well, it's going really well. It's expanding as we go. We were formed around 2005. By Carolyn DeMori, who is our executive chair and head, and she went out into communities and spoke to people and realised that there was a need for nutrition-based education and training in remote communities to address the chronic illnesses that are completely, can be
rectified
by good nutrition.
Yeah, look, we all know that, don't we? But when you're in a remote area like that out there, without education and people like yourselves to get it instigated, they're missing out nutritionally and I get all sorts of conditions happening to them. So how did you start to build it up? I mean, are you sending people out to these areas to find out where the need is?
Yes. So We started looking into different communities and doing a lot of consultation with communities. So it was very much about being invited into that space and listening to communities and seeing what their needs were and their interest and their desire to take control of their own health and their own future. And that's sort of where the conversation started, and it started small, sort of up in on the Dampier in northern WA, and it's since then grown over the last sort of 17 years through WA, through lots of different communities, and now also really active in the NT as well.
So to get the infrastructure established and to get the children and the teachers and the people in the community interested and keen for it to take place, what did you have to physically do?
Well, there's so much physical work involved, but there is a lot of, as I said, consultation at the start and really listening and seeing where things would be appropriate and what the needs were. And then we go in and we choose a sort of area within schools most of the time as our starting point, and then we grow from there into community and we bring in all the infrastructure, all the irrigation, all of the garden beds. We try to use as much of what's around us and, you know, learn from what grows well in the area from speaking to the community members, but then sort of grow on that and start adding in different fruits and vegetables that we know will have an impact on access, which is a massive thing, access to fresh fruits and vegetables, but also what's going to be most impactful in everyday life.
Forgive me if I'm wrong here, but in the regional areas, in the extreme northern inland areas, the soil wouldn't be that compatible for vegetable growing, would it? What do you need to do to fix that?
It's interesting. You know, for instance, where I am, sort of up in the Kimberley, the Pindan that is mostly around is really fantastic. It's a really great sort of starting point. And we do a lot of things. We bring in compost. We teach composting. We also... in Yearly, for instance, where the MasterChef competition was we have stations. So there's lots of cattle stations and we create relationships with the people that work in those stations. We go up and dig the yards and get all of that manure out. And,
oh, great.
And we use that as a teaching tool as well, because I think the most important thing is that we want to make sure that this is sustainable. And so by teaching and utilising what is available to people around them and teaching from that point creates a much more sustainable outcome.
It's really interesting. And once again, forgive my naivety here, but culturally this would be a different area of cultivation for Aboriginal people.
Traditionally, yes, but often you go into a lot of these communities and this is where some of the horticultural training and the permacultural training, that sort of stuff happens through TAFE and that sorts of things do exist out here.
Yeah.
And there is certainly, a more sort of long-term connection to collecting from country and all of those things as well. So there is an underlying kind of, foundation.
Connection to both, yeah.
And connection to growth that is happening there. But there is a lot, we really pride ourselves on going in and making sure we are capacity building whilst we are delivering these programs, so that we are taking our knowledge that we bring in, but also using the knowledge, which there is so much in communities, and then sort of... collaborating. It's a real collaboration within that space, because it's also very much about responding to what people will eat and what they won't eat, and trying to grow masses of what, we know is popular within community, so that we're having the greatest impact.
Well, this will be impacting not only just the children and their future health, but of course the parents too. They'd be learning from all of this.
Oh, absolutely. Through the children, obviously, we're really aiming for generational change in the approach to what's going on your plate and how you can be in charge of accessing that kind of future. But that kind of work, we do a lot of workshops within communities with adults. We partner with, Aboriginal corporations and women's centres and childcare centres with mums and bubs and all of those sorts of things. So we really are trying to hit as many sort of areas whilst we have access and partnerships with these communities to have that sort of overarching impact.
What sort of result have we seen? I mean, the crops look fantastic for this photograph, but individually on the young children and their health now that they're learning to cook and use and grow these items?
I think that this is a really, really good question, because obviously it takes a really long time to measure that sort of thing. But it's extraordinary. Like, I really see the impact every day when you've got kids wandering around their school picking off tomatoes and beans and choosing them as snacks over other things that are available in community. And so I sort of call it this incidental nutrition sort of moments, where we're getting so many more vegetables into kids and adults who come through the garden and harvest themselves to take back to camp.
Yeah.
And they're the sort of moments that I think are most impactful, because it's becoming so consistent and it's becoming really a part of everyday life in that way.
So, I mean, you just recently had, like you mentioned, a Master Chef with the children, which is just a great little concept, and they embrace that. And, of course, they've got to learn how to cook these vegetables, don't they?
Well, that's a massive part of what we do. We come in and we do the practical hands-on training within the garden to build the resource that we can teach nutrition from. And we do lots of, so we sort of do half our time is edible garden lessons, and the other half is a nutritional lesson in which we teach how to cook. And, we're not trying to change the wheel. We don't want to come in and make it too difficult. What we're really trying to do is show how easy it is to make healthy choices by adding more vegetables or cutting out certain things and replacing them with other things. And then that's how we have the greatest impact. And it's through those experiences, the consistency of those experiences, that we do see that change happening.
Well, the look on their faces, they are very proud of what they've done, and they've got sun hat protection, and the crop looks absolutely gorgeous. In fact, I think you should go around to all the public schools here all the schools really in Perth, in the city. Truly, really, I mean, honestly.
Honestly, it is the way of the future, regardless of where we are, that, learning to grow and learning to make those healthy choices becomes the norm, I think, is really such an important thing.
Well, there is a concern about health and obesity, diabetes, that sort of thing, as a result of lack of nutrition. And by addressing it this way, they're having fun. They feel a lot of pride about what they're doing and resulting. And their parents must be wide open to it as well, like you said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's skills. It's like, I think that this is the thing that we really need to focus on as well, is when we get in there early, we're teaching skills. We're teaching skills not just within the garden space or healthy eating, but life skills that they can be, that they can then take on and make sure is part of their future.
Could be a career in that for them in the future as well. Exactly. Well, you're greening up the regional areas in the north of our state here, and I think that is fantastic. Good. Yeah. Lucky there are stations with animals so you can get the manure on the crop as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can get it from Bunnings too, but we would prefer to use what we've got around us, because, as I said, more sustainable that way.
Now, how do you fund all of this, Erica?
There's lots of different ways that we're funded. We're a non-for-profit organisation, and we have government funding, we have philanthropic funding, we have general donations, we have grants. We're always looking for ways to build on that funding, obviously, to reach more communities, and there are so many that are in need. But it is, that's how it's sort of split in the way. It's always running in the background, that searching for more ways in which we can generate funds to get the work out there.
Well, you never know, someone listening might be very much behind what you're doing. Have you got a website at all?
We do. eon.org.au.
People might like to know a little bit more about that. You're doing a wonderful job. Very quiet in the background out there, and I think everyone that you're looking after are enjoying it greatly. Thank you so much, Erica.
And thanks for having me.
Plenty. Thank you. Anytime. Erica Wells from Eon Foundation WA.